A Freedom of Information Act request leads to a lawsuit from a former Fed aimed at the Federal Trade Commission. Phil Reitinger is former Deputy Undersecretary for the National Protection and Programs Directorate at the Department of Homeland Security. He's now CEO of VisionSphere and a senior associate in the Strategic Technologies Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Here to talk about his case and his experience and what he learned about the information that he wanted and the FOIA process itself. Phil, it's great to talk to you. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining me today. What was the reason that you originally wanted information from the FTC that you wound up having to put in the form of a FOIA request? Thanks for coming on today, Phil.
Francis, thanks very much. I saw a presentation in the fall from one of the FTC commissioners who went through what her agency was doing under their what's called their Section 5 Unfair Trade Practice Authority. And that's not where they sue a company for lying about their security. It's they sue a company because they think they haven't done enough, that they've been unfair, regardless of what they've said about it. And it seemed to me that, you know, with all of the breaches that have happened over the course of the years, including government agencies and even significant security companies, that if they're going to sue companies that have already been hit once, that they ought to tell people what they expect. And so since the FTC had refused to ever say anything about what their standards were, I thought I'd send them a FOIA request and just see if there was some information that might be of use to people so that they could be better prepared and do the things that they ought to do, according to the FTC, to prevent a breach.
So the goal was to understand exactly the measures that the Federal Trade Commission uses when they decide whether to pursue action against a company regarding cybersecurity. Do I have that correct?
Exactly.
And what was the response that you got when you asked for that information?
I submitted the request, I think, early November, and the FTC asked for an extension. And then on Christmas Eve of last year, sent me a letter telling me, if you'll allow me to paraphrase, go pound sand. They said that they did have documents, but all of their documents were privileged either as what's called deliberative process privilege or were law enforcement privilege, and they weren't going to give me any. So I appealed that, and a senior in January, and then a more senior lawyer in the FTC's in the FTC told me in February that they were still not going to give me any documents and repeated the every document that they had was privileged.
You write about this case for the CSIS Strategic Technologies Program blog, and we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so folks can see exactly what you had to say about this case. You wind up filing a lawsuit, and the response to that lawsuit is you do wind up with over 2,000 pages of documents. What was included in them? Was it actually the information you were looking for, Phil?
It actually wasn't. What they gave me was 2,048 pages of almost all public documents. There were a couple of emails that weren't public but didn't have much content, and then there were speaker notes that were not public, or at least I hadn't seen before, on some of the presentations. So what I did was go through, in order to write the blog, go through those many thousands of pages and analyze what those, you know, years and years of FTC, mostly public pronouncements, said about what their standards were. They identified one document that they'd found that was responsive, but they refused to give it to me because it was privileged, because it was inaccurate. And if it was accurate, it might allow people to do things to avoid, you know, getting sued by the FTC. And I think they pretty much said they don't want people to do that. They want a degree of vagueness. They didn't use these terms, obviously, in order to have broader action by industry as opposed to telling them what they actually expect them to do.
So there's two things at issue here. Phil Reitinger of VisionSphere and the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I took away two things from your piece: the story about the information that you wanted to get from the Federal Trade Commission, and the story about the FOIA process that you experienced, where the information that you wanted, you did wind up getting. And it strikes me that from a FOIA perspective, it might have been more useful for the FTC to just give it to you in the first place, because they wound up giving it to you in the second place.
Right, and there's ongoing litigation that they have not yet responded. In fact, the FTC has said they haven't really even completed their a full review for the documents responsive to my first request. What I guess I learned, you know, it's sort of disheartening because, you know, early in my career when I was a lawyer in the Justice Department, I actually was involved in was involved in defending FOIA suits against the federal government. But I don't think a significant effort was made to find documents or respond to what I requested until after I filed the lawsuit.
You write here, I'll close with what was not produced. The FTC hasn't yet produced any documents from its investigative files. That's the subject of a continuing discussion in my FOIA case. And the FTC recently said that it couldn't even represent that its search was complete for non-investigative documents. What's that mean from a legal perspective?
What that means is they produced these 2,000 pages and started to look more and discovered that they'd have to look a lot more. So the FTC decided, after never having raised this before, that I was a commercial requester instead of a public interest media requester, and said that to do any more work, they wanted to charge me fees in order to search for their own files for standards that would enable people to comply with their rules. That's what that means.
Phil, ultimately, what do you see the dispensation of this case being? And it's interesting to me that this is something that you know something about, having done it at the Justice Department, as you just mentioned.
You know, it will be interesting to see. Obviously, the bigger question, you know, there was a big decision in the appeals court last week in the Wyndham case, I understand, about whether the FTC can engage in this sort of thing. I'm not trying to make a decision for anyone whether the FTC has this authority or not. I just think that if the FTC is going to bring cases against people, it needs to tell people what they're going to do. You know, the best defense against an information security breach is not being a target. And if you're going to hold people accountable for 20-year consent decrees, you need to be a little more specific about what you expect them to do. And so I'd like to do everything in my power to make sure that the maximum possible of information is available to people.
Well, and that's another issue. I mentioned there's the information case and there's the FOIA piece of this that I found interesting. And the information piece that I found interesting was exactly that. The outcome, it strikes me, that we ultimately want is for the average citizen a more secure network and companies more securely handling his or her information. And so being able to understand what the parameters are that are expected of that would most likely contribute to that outcome. Is that where you were headed based on your experience at other agencies, based on your experience at DHS and now in the private sector?
Once again, Francis, you put it better than I could. That's exactly correct.
Phil, it's great to talk to you, and thank you very much for coming on. And as I mentioned, a link to what you're writing at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Francis. Have a good day.